back. Woo!
It's been a while.
It'll probably come out in a consistent time, so people won't understand why we're cheering.
But. Yeah. But we took the summer off.
We did.
The whole summer?
We were busy.
Pretty much.
Killing people?
No comment.
We can't have that recorded.
Yeah. No.
Joe, our guest, really disappointed in us because he is consistently being awesome with his podcast. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if it's how consistent it is. People might argue with that. I'm on a podcast called RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. I have two podcasts, actually. Oh, I just hit that.
Which is about, like, the political climate in the White House, right? That's what it's about?
There's that one. I can't keep that one secret. Okay. But, I have RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. And then I have one that I actually never really promote, where it's about my life. When I first started, I would try and tell all my friends. But then I realized, like, notice I still haven't said the name of it, is, wait, I want to talk shit on my friends. And if they listen, then they... So, like, now I don't really promote that one. But it's called Catching Up with Mike and Joe. But don't listen if you know me.
Well, the thing that's funny is that, like, if you know Joe, which I've known him for a while, he talks shit to you and to your face. Like, he'll say some of the meanest things ever he said to my face in a funny way. So I just can't wait to find out what you actually are hiding.
Well, what I love is actually, I think it's funny is, and I've had to learn this, is that a lot of times Lori's friends don't get that. So on social media, I'll write, show some, you know, her typical nonsense on social media.
Oh, her crap. Yeah.
So it's like that. Okay. But then it's always like, because she does have a touch of autism or something like that. So, like, she'll do the one joke about how, like, this person was a bad person, but we can do, like, what was the weird riff you were doing for, like, a week about, like, the news or something like that?
She was doing, like, her opinion versus, like, I just shat my pants, like, her opinion on a political topic.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I also just ate Chipotle for the fifth time today.
Well, the thing, okay, so my whole point was that, like, I think a lot of times, and I do this, obviously, we're talking about this, but obviously people go, like, here's my opinion on this topic, and it's supposed to be, like, have some weight to it. And it's like, I feel like...
Is that a fat joke again, Lori? Like, we have enough of those. It's like on the nose.
No. It is a morbidly obese...
I want everyone to know that Lori is turning knobs on a mixer, but I'm not necessarily sure Lori knows what the knobs are doing. She acts like she knows what they're doing, but she keeps turning them because I think she saw, like, La Bamba one time, and now she thinks, like, she's a sound engineer.
Richie!
I love how you go to La Bamba as my dream girl.
Yeah. Isn't that the template for the music industry? Is the Richie Valens story?
Yeah.
It's all knobs, and she's still pushing up on them, like, their levels.
Tell me what one of those buttons does.
This is the gain. I'm trying to get it because there's a very airy kind of thing to it.
Another fat joke, yeah. Fat joke number two. Here we go, Lori. She all of a sudden she's doing. Who's the fat comic that died with the horrible girlfriend?
Ralphie May.
Yeah.
Wait, she's not horrible.
I hear she's horrible.
She literally. One time I was living in my car, and she like bought me deodorant.
Well, I think that was shade.
Yeah, I can see
someone has bad breath and you're like gum.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was definite shade, but she was being really nice about it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
funny,
passive aggressive
odd that
shade.
I said fat guy with a mean girlfriend. You went immediately to Ralphie May.
Well, I was gonna do what was the other pen?
Well, another.
Something Panette.
John Panette.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's ever dated anybody. Or
how do you know?
Because, I mean, I don't know.
Were you like on the John Panette? The John .net.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
His webpage.
His actual website, that needed to be his website.
So anyway, the point is, she has these weird Facebook posts.
They're amazing.
I remember one time, I keep hitting the mic. It's still pro of me. I don't know, maybe were you in this group at UCB? Or you were IO. Lori does this group, to give an example of how her friends don't get it, and Robin Williams dropped in on her set.
Yeah.
And they like they were doing. What were you guys doing at
improv?
At UCB, you did improv. Yeah, we were doing, Robin Williams just dropped in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. He had been in the show previously, and he wanted to like keep the party train going. Yeah. So he was like, "Hey, can I jump? Who's up next? Can I jump on there?"
By the way, who's saying no?
And then
we're
like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're good, Robin Williams.
Yeah. No, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he does, and then he takes a picture with them afterwards.
And he talked to us for a solid like hour and a half, 2 hours. Like,
oh, really?
He was really nice. Yeah. And he had, I think he had just had heart surgery.
Oh, really?
Or just sort of started to recover. So he was super nice.
And so anyway, Lori posts the picture of Robin Williams and her group on Facebook. And she's like, oh, look, I got to perform with Robin Williams or whatever. And I wrote something along the lines of like, well, I don't see you. I see this blonde girl and this redhead. And I go, and there's some horrible human being dressed like Mrs. Doubtfire. And so whatever, it's not even that good of a joke.
I will say I was still going to a fat camp at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was super into cut off t-shirt sleeves where you cut the t-shirt sleeve and then put it on your head.
Yeah, not sure. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. You like to wipe the sweat when you work out. You like cut the t-shirt sleeve and then you put it on your head.
Yeah, but you weren't working out. You were.
I know, but it was like a good way to like cover my hair because mm-hmm. I had long hair at the time.
It looked like she was like working on a pancake syrup recipe. But the point is that I wrote that, and then all her friends got super angry and were like, what a jerk. Like, that's what?
I also had a long sweater that I had cut down the middle to be like a side sweater. So, like, it was like a sweater that I cut to make it look like a jacket, but it was actually a sweater. So that's
how weird you didn't have a girlfriend at the time.
Those were my fashion choices. I still look back on that and go, I look good.
See, and that's why people got mad, because they already felt so bad for Lori that they're like, this guy's piling on.
You're right. You're right.
And not realizing that
you're right.
She's as proud as can be.
Yeah.
We had a weird moment in when we were in the line to audition for, okay, I won't go into it.
The Biggest Loser,
where I was worried that I was going to get mad at him at some point during the, if we got on the game, and scream, I hope you die of AIDS.
Yeah.
And then the woman in the line goes, well, just don't do that. And I was like, okay.
Well, what's
you
funny,
obviously don't.
Well, let's jump into the game of,
see,
let's
this is,
see
this is what
who
she was telling
can
about.
Make each other cry more. Lori Roggenkamp and Joe Batenz.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even joking. Let me just finish that story.
It's not going
to
win.
We didn't even get to audition for The Biggest Loser because we decided maybe 20 minutes in that we were too hungry, and we left and got food.
Yeah.
It feels like you won. It feels like that means you won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah,
that makes winner. You the biggest loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of winning.
Yeah.
Our topic for today is a Russian thief from the 1800s. She goes by Sonia the Golden Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she, so summary about her was, she was a legendary Russian female con artist who committed several carefully planned robberies and was eventually captured and exiled to the Sakhalin penal colony. During her career,
you would hate to go there as a lesbian.
No, I would hate
a penal colony. Oh. You would have been.
I was nauseous just doing this outline because of how many times they wrote penal colony.
Yeah, you were just like, ugh. Nothing I need. Why couldn't they send me to like a carpet factory or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
During her career, Sonia robbed almost all big jewelers of Russia. She became the basis of several books and films, and in which she was romanticized as a Robin Hood figure who never killed and stole only from the rich.
Who are the big Russian jewelers? Is there like a Tiffany Nastya?
Oh, yeah.
And like a De Birshin?
Yeah.
That's a good point, Maria. Who are the big Russian jewelers?
It's like, that was the funny thing you'll find in this thing. But I was just like, I felt like it was going to be like a play on words of like Russian jewelers, like just stones. You know, it's like, that's going to be the Russian jeweler. It's like, we give you slap in face. You like it. You know.
So what we know so far is that she was a Russian, like, was she like a cat burglar? And how is she?
I'm going to get into
like
it.
A okay, Russian catwoman kind of thing.
Yeah
she was like,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm kind of excited. Yeah.
Her crimes are, so.
By the way, everyone, Lori's not reading this. This is just off the top of her head.
It's really amazing.
Sounds,
she does this for every podcast.
It sounds
really
natural.
Organic.
Yeah,
I know. So her born name, they think, is Shindalia Sura Liebovna Solomaniak.
How do you just thinking that? You know what, like, you know what, guys? I think her name is...
everything.
Yeah, I think, you know what, guys? I'm going to take a stab in the dark.
Yeah.
I think her name is Shimbalimala
Wapadobia. Heinz, Franz.
Yeah.
Simpsons. Just all the Russian names.
Yeah, every Russian
name. Said Heinz and Franz.
Yeah.
They're close.
I can only think of
Germany
German
and Russian are close.
So her other names that she went by was Sofia Ivanovna Blyvenstein.
Oh, I was waiting for a good joke. Like, what was it? Like, Sheila, I want to steal your jewel. Like,
I want to take your jewels. Zolteya Rushka, Senjendla, which I don't know where that.
Yeah.
Sonia the Golden Hand, Sanka.
Wait. The names she went by are like Sonia Vansukovic.
Yeah.
You know, like Dominik Botoprokovic, Sonia the Golden Hand. Like.
Yeah. Sonia the Sanka the Golden Arm.
Okay,
or yeah. Golden Pen.
Golden Pen's
people
pretty cool.
Were, people are on to her.
Yeah.
That's why they changed it.
She was born in either 1846, 1850, or 1859. Not much is known about like her beginnings. I think she was born in Povelsky, which is in the Warsaw district, and she was born to Jewish parents or smugglers, which is a little anti-Semitic.
Yeah, it's very anti-Semitic. It's like, oh, she's a thief? She must be Jewish.
They were like, she was either born to Jewish parents or thieves.
Yeah, yeah.
Either one is fine.
It's like, they don't know her name, the year she was born, where she's from, but the one thing we know...
She was Jewish.
She was Jewish.
She was positive. Yeah,
that's the one that we're positive about that. Only
well,
Jews.
I'll get, that's a side note that I have
she's
down.
Stealing jewels.
That's a side note that I have. There's a website that I found doing this research called JewOrNotJew.com.
Yeah, sure.
Which basically discusses the, I guess, Jewicity of all these people. And they think Sonia the Golden Hand was borderline Jew. So that's their recommendation.
How are you borderline Jewish?
I don't know. Maybe you just like, you know, I was going to say something anti-Semitic.
Well, I don't know what you could possibly be thinking. What?
Maybe just
they can't drive.
Maybe you don't like. Maybe you just like donuts and you don't like bagels. Mm. Like, you know, it's like basically like a Gentile bagel.
I love this.
So
next thing you have on.
No,
there.
Go on, Lori. Go on with your borderline Jew hunk that you have. Keep going with it.
I'm not gonna.
They lend money, but not at interest.
Yeah. No. Yeah. They have an Amazon wish list that they buy things from.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to stay quiet during this, and I think you
should. You're going to lose all your Jewish listeners.
It's just making your blue eyes shine brighter.
And my white skin get redder.
Yeah.
So the only thing I could find on siblings is that she had a sister who was also a thief, but not as popular.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that sucks being unpopular.
I know, like the mom.
Sister.
Well, Jewish moms, we know how they are. Why can't you be like Sonia?
Yeah.
You know, look at her. She's stealing the Hope Diamond. What have you got? A couple of rubies?
Yeah. Mom, I'm trying my best.
Yeah. That's your Jewish woman impression.
That is. Somebody who's like
Russian Jew.
Yeah,
that was less tragic than the Holocaust.
Yeah.
It'll be more tragic. Sorry, I ruined the joke.
No, I thought you were giving me a compliment.
I don't
so,
be, you know the compliment, but go ahead. You're the
like,
only person compared to the Holocaust is a compliment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it depends on the context, because if you say, oh my God, you're as skinny as a Holocaust victim, it's like, thank you.
That is so nice.
Nicest thing anyone said to me.
Can I say that I was in high school and we learned about the Holocaust in high school? I don't know why I had to preface that. And they told us that these women, that some of the, this is sad, but some of the people would die because
the Holocaust is something sad associated with it?
They would die because the American soldiers would give these victims chocolate and they weren't used to so much that they would die. And this one girl in high school goes, ugh, I wish I had that reaction to chocolate. She's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh. She was
so
same,
lucky.
Yeah. She was the same one who asked in a history class, is Gandhi black? And like, I wasn't in the class, but literally this was before cell phones. That spread like wildfire. Like there was a guy in the class who like ran to classrooms and was like, so it's just asked, is Gandhi black?
So what was the answer?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So she was born where many people were engaged in smuggling, theft, and robbery. They think she learned how to steal by watching her family buy stolen goods and smuggle them over the border like a Jewish person or a thief would do.
Or Mexican.
And then she became a prostitute at a young age.
Like Lori.
And so
you know the other thing is, Marie, do you know the story that Lori once prostituted herself for a box of sweaters?
Yes.
She's talked about this
everybody,
on the show.
Everybody knows that story. It's her. She's so proud of the fact, I feel like. Because like, it's like the first story you hear when you meet her.
Yeah.
It's how she gave a man a blowjob for a box of sweaters.
I just
that weren't even that nice of sweaters.
They weren't even that nice of sweaters.
I know. They were great sweaters.
I've never seen one of these sweaters on
I
you,
gave them away way. Because he was being weird. So I just couldn't deal with them. But they were comfortable sweaters.
At what point did you sign he was weird?
He kept sending me messages on MySpace like, I gave you a lot and you owe me. And I'm like, dude.
So he wasn't like, hey, girl, I got a 12-pack of socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, because he had this dumb company that was like, I couldn't even explain the thing. And he wanted me to promote it. And I was like, I don't know what it is. Like, I took a photo of myself wearing the sweater. I put it on my MySpace page. And this was before, like, you know, that kind of stuff was even popular. So it's just like, I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh, where's that sweater company from? You know, and it wasn't even like he was a sweater company. It was like a points company that you get points to get stuff off. But it's like the point system didn't make any sense whatsoever. So it's just like,
it sounds like you sent in a picture of yourself for like a sweater fetish website.
Right?
Didn't wear your pants off. No. Zip sweater only pants.
I mean, my pants are off, but that's just because I don't like to have.
Have you
pants
ever worn
on.
Anything where people were like, "Where did you get that? I want that."
Yeah, I had a sweater once that had. I still have it.
It's all sweaters.
Iced tea. It's iced tea. The rapper iced tea in, but it's like a tea, and then it's got ice cubes with the rapper ice cube inside. And people were like, "Oh, I gotta get that." It's like the best.
Where's it from?
I got it off Instagram. All right, so back to Sonia the Golden Hand. So she.
Where did you get that sweater? Instagram.
Yeah. She was known to love posh dresses, but her main passion were
sweaters,
gold, and diamonds.
Lori the Golden Hand.
Yeah.
Lori
Nachka, the golden.
Like wasn't there a blowjob? Right,
yeah, it was. I didn't do a very good job. I think the point of the whole story was that, like, I was like, oh, I'm definitely gay because I'm not good at this and I hate it. Yeah. And I threw up. but anyway, so back to her. So she was married very young to somebody named Rosenbad, or some places said a Rosenbad, and I looked it up and I couldn't find anything
like
it was like a group or anything like that. So I don't know
Rosenbad as in like A-Rod or a Rosenbad as in one of the Rosenbads.
One of the Rosenbads.
Oh, I thought that was like Maria. I thought it was like a period Rosenbad.
No, it said like the, but then also someone would say like married to Rosenbad. But then it was like, I don't know. So she was married very young, gave birth to a daughter named Sura Reba, stole all his money and left.
Okay.
Then she was married to a rich old man named Shlomo Sklonklik. Stole all his money and left.
Okay.
Then she married, this guy was kind of the one who got her started on thievery. She married this guy named Mikhail Blushefenstein, or Blushefenstein.
Don't try it.
Mikhail B.
Yeah.
She married, they think that she married him when she was around 15, which made me go, how young was she when she married the other two people?
Damn.
And she was in prostitution before she got married. So it was like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a railroad thief and a card sharpener.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, what does a card sharpener do?
Like I looked it up.
Playing card?
I guess so. I looked it up and it's like literally a card sharpener.
Oh, crazy.
So,
are you sure he wasn't a card sharp?
Card shark?
A card sharp.
What does that do?
A card sharp is a guy who he's a con artist with playing cards.
Oh, see, maybe that's it.
More likely because
I Googled card sharpener and I just got a lot of ads for card sharpeners.
I feel like we always have had card sharpener machines. So yeah, that one doesn't make sense. So. They've just existed since cards.
Mikhail introduced Sonia to stealing, and she kept his last name throughout the rest of her career.
Mm-hmm. No, she didn't introduce her to stealing. She had already stolen from two other men.
Well, he introduced her to like the life of stealing, like oh, that you could do it to people other than husbands.
Like that movie, was it Matchstick Men?
Yeah.
What's this? What's this movie about?
I remember that
Nicolas
movie.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage.
Oh, you would like it.
Why?
Because he grooms this girl to be a con artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know why that means you would like it, but Lori knows you better than I do.
Yeah, I'm into that stuff.
So she had a daughter with him named Tabitha.
Joe is vehemently shaking his head now.
Well, everyone knows how much. That's my Netflix subgenre.
That's your third podcast.
I think you would
Nick Cage
it.
Movies.
Nick Cage was really good. I don't know. You like movies? There.
Sure.
That's it. She soon became more experienced than her husband and started to work alone. He would fly into rages because he found out that she committed her crimes by using her sexual charms.
That's understandable to be mad about.
Yeah, but I just think it's funny that he was okay with her stealing, but the fact that she was using her sexual charms, he was like, uh-uh.
That's two totally different things. Wait, so like stealing and prostitution are on the same level of the moral compass for
not
you?
Not prostitution. I'm saying that he was just upset that she was using her charms at all. Like, if it's like, maybe she didn't sleep with these people. Maybe she just was like, hey, if you give me money, I'll sleep with you, and just walked away.
Wait, so which one? Was it that or was it?
I don't know.
Oh, so we just don't know.
No. I didn't do a lot of research.
I was assuming that she was like, if she was fucking and then stealing.
No, she was doing that. So
but why would that be where he draws the line? If ultimately she's coming home with diamonds, but she's fucking somebody.
Well,
because you can pickpocket without fucking somebody.
Also, I think he's just like, he's a dude. He wants to think that she's the only one that he sleeps with, mm-hmm. or he's the only one that she sleeps with. And so she finds out that she's actually having like anonymous sex with these guys. Then she gets upset about it.
Can I ask you a question?
Well, you're gonna, so.
Does it have to be so hot in here? I'm sweating like a fat southern woman.
Yeah, because if it's, we open the window, then we get all the outside noise.
Oh my God.
So
I'm going to lose so much weight by the end of this episode. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm already sweating.
That's why I invited you here, because your mother contacted me and said that you're really, you need to lose weight.
Everything that I have.
I can open the window, but it'll make noise. What do you think?
Nah, just leave it. We're almost, we're fine. Okay.
By the way, I'm in just like a polo shirt, but you are in like layers with a hat and you're fine.
I mean, I'm sweating, but I'm just used to it. So, all right. So, one of the stories of him is that he was, one day committing a robbery, and under one of these rages, which I don't know necessarily how he flew into a rage. It doesn't say in the story, like, was he continuously in a rage or did he see her or something? But he killed an old rich widow,
mm-hmm.
and was caught and sentenced to life in Sakhalin Island. And he died shortly after. Then she married a guy
So he was doing a robbery. He flies into a rage. Like, was she there? Was Sonya the Golden Hand
That's
there?
What I'm assuming, because he said that he flew into one of his rages.
Do you think, like, he was, like, trying to crack open the stage? Like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
No, like, I was thinking he was, like, trying to crack open the safe. And then she was, like, flirting with one of the conductors or something. Was like, hey, do you know, how can I get some more money or something like that? And then he was, like...
But why is she having that conversation? I think it's like he's trying to crack open the safe, and he's like, oh, it's not this work. He's like, I told you to go two times to the left. He's like, I got this. And she's like, I told you to go two times to the left. Told you. And
he's like, Sonya, stop.
Sonya, stop it.
Stop.
And then the widow probably said, like, she did say two times to the left.
And he was like, she was just like, you would have been out of here. And then he was just like, Sonya!
Rage! Yeah. So
you should,
the last husband she had was this is a guy that she married, a guy named Vladoya Kochubikchik. Mm-hmm. He was a fellow thief who started at age 8. He was his thief name was Wolf Bromberg,
mm-hmm.
which I think is like one of the best thief names.
He was trying to sound less Jewish.
Yeah. Which I think is funny because his Bromberg seems more Jewish than Kachuba.
That was a joke.
Oh. So Sonya was madly in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the relationship that ultimately led to her doom, because he was addicted to gambling. And we'll see later on how that affected him. But yeah, this was like, ironically, this was like the relationship that brought her down. So I'm going to tell you a story about a couple of her famous feet.
You ever let Maria talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was her research topic.
Oh.
So I don't know anything. I'm learning as you go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In theory, the next episode, you're going to be doing the research on that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So.
I can see Lori hogging. You know, it rhymes with rogging on campus, like hogging camp.
Lori hogging camp.
Like, you could have done all the research. She's like, I'm just going to read it because it says I brought all the microphones.
I
read it in her monotone voice off the page.
It flows really natural. She's like, and then I get a cheese and corn queso quesadilla at Chipotle. Anyway, let's get back to this. In 1842, Sonia the Hen walked into a jail cell and got 14 cartons of diamonds with her hidden underneath her dress. Then she met a guy named... I'm going to mess his name up. Sergei Balikolak. And then they went into Siberia and rode a camel 3 times. And
then, oh, yeah. It's a lot better than what you do when you're like, lady!
That's right. I'm always doing Jerry Lewis from The Nutty Professor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or.
Is that, what is that?
That's me blowing a young college student.
Yeah. I was wondering.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do that on the whole podcast.
It's those are the two
the sex
things.
Sounds I have when I kidnap a young college boy. Right?
No, this is Joe. Okay, let me ask you this real fast. All right. I'm gonna talk about it. What do you think about this? What do you think? In like 45 minutes of that. All right. So the first crime is known as the jeweler Carl von Meller theft. So I'm not going to read. I'm going to read it normally.
Yeah, don't read it. Because you've been going so well so far with your not reading.
I'm reading it normally. I was going to do it in a Russian accent, but I don't think I can successfully do that. Mm-hmm. So, May 1883, a beautifully well-dressed young lady entered the Von Mel jewelry store.
Was it Sonia?
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
I'm telling you, this is the story. Okay. Uh-huh. And introduced herself as the wife of a well-known psychiatrist.
Mrs. Freud.
Hello. She had expensive tastes and selected a variety of items worth 30,000 rubles. Mm-hmm. She asked for the jewelry to be hand-delivered by the owner to her home address where her rich husband would pay for the items. At the appointed time, the jeweler with the collection of diamonds arrived at the doctor's residence. The beautiful wife met him and took the box of jewels, explaining that she wished to wear them that night. She invited him to wait in her husband's office. Later, the doctor arrived and asked the jeweler what he wanted. When the jeweler made a compliment on the sophisticated taste of his gorgeous wife and persistently insisted to be paid for the items he had just delivered, medical orderlies captured him and took him away to a mental hospital.
Oh, shit.
As it was later revealed, a lady had arrived just before the time assigned for the jewelry to be delivered and presented herself to the doctor as a wife of Von Mel. She said that her elderly husband had gone crazy over buying diamonds and paid for his treatment up front. So that's how she stole all these diamonds.
Wait. Yeah, she just conned me. So at the end, she comes back.
No, so what she did was, so she went to this jeweler, and she said, I am the wife of a well-known psychiatrist.
But she wasn't, and then she broke into the house, right?
No, then she went to this guy's practice that was at a mansion.
Okay.
Like, at his house, and she said, my husband...
What is he charged by the hour if he lives, like, in a mansion?
I don't, a lot, I guess. Yeah. But she goes, my husband is a jeweler and he's obsessed with buying diamonds and he's obsessed with people buying diamonds. I want him to get treatment. Here is
his treatment up
front. Oh, yeah, so he conned.
Yeah.
She like unsaned him. You seen that movie? That was a good movie.
Yeah. What's that movie?
Unsane?
No.
It's it just came out like not too long ago about this girl who like she has this stalker, but nobody believes her.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up in a mental asylum. It's really good.
I don't think I would listen to that.
My favorite part of that movie was that I was in the movie theater and I saw somebody I knew. And right before the movie started, I texted, "This text is coming from inside the movie theater." And I was like, that's fun.
So she got the dude. Not only did she steal his the jeweler's like diamonds, she got him committed.
She got him committed, yeah.
That's fucked up.
Wait, I've got a lot of questions about this. One, she goes to the psychiatrist and says, "My husband is a jeweler."
Yeah.
And he's obsessed with jewels and
he's obsessed
them.
With people like buying them,
buying jewels.
Well, isn't that like saying like my husband's a car dealer? He buys all the yeah. He's a car dealer.
But it's like almost like you can see it like, you know, my husband is obsessed with eating. Like it's like one of those things.
But if
where
he's a chef,
you can't do that.
No,
you can't
stop
it.
Here's my next question. So then the guy's sitting in the psychiatrist's room. So let me get this straight. She then goes into the psychiatrist like. Office. Why, if she set this up, why does he go in there and say, "What are you doing here?" She's already set it up.
Wait.
Well, because she's introducing him to the jeweler. Because the jeweler is expecting to get paid. So she's like, "Here, let me go get my husband."
Yeah.
But then the psychiatrist comes out and thinks he's meeting his new patient. So he sees the patient and he's like, "I need to get paid for my money. Your wife just took all my jewels." And he's like, "Oh, he's obviously gone insane."
When you were not reading this, you said the psychiatrist said, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah. He just
well, he doesn't know why he's there?
Well, no. I mean, he probably asked, like, "What, you know, how can I help you? What
oh,
are you, you know?"
Different.
Yeah.
Not like, "What are you doing here?"
No, no.
"I'm a psychiatrist."
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that's how Russian people talk. Mm-hmm. It's just very abruptly, you know. Like, I imagine, like, even if, like, you were my mother, I'd be like, you know, when I come in, you'd be like, "What are you doing here?" You know, like, it's like.
Was that your Russian accent?
Yeah.
How long did you practice that for?
A lot. I practiced in the car before everybody came here.
What did you practice to?
Yeah.
"What are you doing here?"
Yeah, do your best Russian act. Read the last sentence in your Russian
accent. No, go ahead and read the next,
yeah.
Next thing.
The
okay.
Next thing
in your Russian accent. Yeah,
all
I
right.
Like that, Maria.
Oh,
good call.
Jesus. Okay. So,
I mean, she's not reading. Everyone should be clear.
Memorize.
Banker. So the next one is called the Banker Dagmarov's Caper.
This is your best Russian accent?
No, I'm just letting him know what this is.
Oh, okay.
Okay. October 1884, in Odessa, at Cafe Fankani, the banker, Mr. Dagmarov, uh-huh. noticed a beautiful lady who identified...
Wow. It really sounded like Ivana Trump is in here. I don't know if she's
yeah.
watching. I made that up.
So, October 1884, in Odessa, at Cafe Fankani, the banker... Mr. Dagmarov noticed a beautiful lady who identified herself as Mrs. Sofia San Donato. Mm-hmm. After some pleasant conversation, she asked him to change 1,000 rubles. Soon the banker learned that she was leaving for Moscow by evening, the same as he. The banker suggested that he accompany her. In the sleeping compartment, they politely conversed, laughed, and ate chocolate candies. Mm-hmm. In the morning, after having a
died.
Good sleep, the banker found neither his money nor securities for the sum of 43,000 rubles.
Well, he's an idiot. Like, that's...
Also, I doubt that they were eating chocolate candy.
Yeah, and also, why did you recite chocolate candies? Like, it's just chocolate. You know what I like about the word rubles is that it makes it sound... It makes that currency sound like way more arduous to get than money, than dollars. It just makes it sound like
yeah.
it's all like you have to mine for every single ruble.
Yeah,
that
you earn. That's quite the sum. Do you want to take a guess at what 43,000 Russian rubles is in dollars?
$1 million.
Maria?
43,000 rubles in dollars?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's $14,000.
$645.67.
What?
She's a
Whoa.
Horrible thief.
She is
well,
nickel and diming. I think she's honestly.
But with inflation.
That's
guys, we also have to keep in mind, she's borderline Jewish. So $650.
Yeah, because we
no.
all know. The
I don't know about that.
As you're saying, Laurie, let me get this straight. What you're saying, that Jews will go to great lengths For, no matter how small of a pittance of money it is, she will
she's
have,
a make thief, up disguise. But she steals $653. She goes to this link.
Because Jews will do good. But you're saying, I just want to make this year we're getting this straight. You're saying that Jews will go to whatever length for a dollar. It doesn't care. They don't have a disguise.
I have two more stories
She'll
to
take
read.
A train.
I have two more.
Pretend to be a Russian noble.
I'm ignoring you. So the next one is called the Klibnikov jewelry robbery.
That sounds very Russian, yeah.
August 1885.
That's my birthday.
The manager... Oh.
1885.
The manager... Wow. The manager of a jewelry store recommended a collection of adornments for 22,300 rubles to a Courland baroness, Sophia Buxhoveden. When the treasures were picked and nicely packed, the honorable lady recalled that she forgot all her money at home. Mm-hmm. She took the jewelry and assured that she would be back. She left her accompanying relatives, a gray-haired father and a little baby girl on the governess's hands. Mm-hmm. When 2 hours later, the owner of the store reported the robbery to the police station, they found out that these relatives were hired on Kirchevaka Market by an advertisement published in a newspaper.
What's Kirchevaka Market? Is that like the black market?
Probably like the black market.
Why gotta be black?
All right.
So there's like a black market newspaper.
Yeah. There's there's so many steps. There's a black market newspaper, and then you got to meet at a black market.
And then you got to go to the black market cafe.
And then you got to
Get your black market cafe points on your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you get lower gas prices at like Chevron?
Yeah.
Like 20 cents off a gallon.
And then this is the one that she was, well.
Black market Chevron.
She was most known for.
I was reading once that you could, you know that song, 8675309.
Yeah.
That a lot of people put that in for like their Vons Club or Ralph's Club. So that if you put that in, a lot of times it'll have points on it.
Oh my God, that's genius.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to do that because mine is never, every time I go and like you try my number, it's either like Vons or like Petco or whatever.
Yeah. Wait,
it's
what's
never
this,
registered.
What's the area code though? Don't you have to have an area code?
You just, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can even figure out why she, the psychiatrist didn't know who he was.
Okay, so Sonia the Golden Hand was known. This was a method she invented for hotel thefts. It's called.
She stole a whole hotel? People didn't notice that was missing?
Hotel thefts, like hotel.
Like she went into the room.
Yeah. Oh. It's called Guten Morgen. So what she would do.
Yes. Is my new show that I have.
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen, Los Angeles.
Yeah. So a beautifully dressed, elegant Sonia gets into the hotel room of her potential victim early in the morning and begins to steal valuables. If the lodger all of a sudden wakes up, she would pretend that she mistook the door. She was confused, but rarely departed empty-handed. For the benefit of the matter, she could even spend a night with the rich cavalier and then already quietly would clean his pockets.
Wait, I have a lot of questions here. Do you think that's a euphemism for like fuck him?
No, Guten Morgen would be like, so she's in the hotel.
No, but she'd spend the night with the cavalier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
She would have sex with him. She would be like, oh, Guten Morgen. Sorry, this is wrong compartment.
Because I'm a guy, and I don't know if your boyfriend would agree here.
You're
but
also
like,
gay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if I woke up in a hotel and there was some strange twink going through my stuff, and he was like, oh, sorry, I thought this was another room that I was stealing jewels from. Let's have sex. Would I be like,
Well, I don't think she would go to sex right away. It seemed like she's super smart. Yeah, so she would be like, oh, so sorry. You know, I why am I Asian?
What actor?
So she would be like, oh, Guten Morgen. This is wrong room. I did not know that this was wrong room. Oh, no. Where's my key? Oh, I'm so lost.
Why would she be speaking in English?
I don't know. All right. So
I think because it was like a different time, too, and women were always just considered like idiots and like, I wandered into the wrong room.
And so my uterus was going crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
My uterus was going crazy. Yeah. That can often, that happened a lot in the 1800s. People's uteri were going crazy.
Oh,
is that the plural for uterus, uteri?
Sure.
I don't know.
So she...
I don't think so. Maybe.
Maybe.
So I think I'm going to skip ahead.
Yeah.
So she
Yeah, skip. No, 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 don't skip ahead. Give us every single detail. What happened next?
Well, so she was known for the way that she would steal was she grew out her fingernails so she could hide gems under her fingernails.
Wait, what?
You were right. It's uteri.
Oh, is it? Really? Yeah. Wow, look at that.
So she would grow out her fingernails so she could hide. And then she'd also put gems in her under her tongue.
Too. Wait, she grew out her fingernails to hide jewels in them?
Yeah.
Those were some tiny ass jewels.
I know.
And then so under she her would tongue, hide. She's like, oh, sorry, wrong room.
Yeah.
So I don't have gems under my tongue.
Probably.
I thought these are life-saving.
I think that's what she did. I think she was like told, I'm not stealing. Like, I think that's exactly what she did.
I just went to Chipotle.
She also trained a small monkey mm-hmm. to swallow precious stones while she would distract the jewelers. And then later...
Wouldn't the monkey be distracting enough?
Would get... I guess not. I guess in Russia,
like,
it's monkey crazy.
That's how hot she must have been. Where there's a cute-ass monkey in the room.
Dancing around yeah. stealing jewels and you're like, I'm just going to ignore the monkey in the room.
Yeah, because there's a hot Russian lady. Like,
see, I think that just so many people had pet monkeys back then that it was just like, you know, all right, she's got a pet monkey. Yeah, another monkey. So, and then apparently they would get them free from the monkey's stomach with the aid of an enema.
That's so sad.
I know. And then there's one writer who was like, he's part of like this big like animal rights thing, but he was like, the monkey hated her. And I was like,
what?
I don't think the monkey had emotions, but yeah, I don't think
the monkey definitely had emotions.
I don't think he enjoyed getting an enema.
No, obviously he hated her, but I mean,
have you ever had an enema, Rory?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
When I had my surgery, I was super constipated, so I had to go to the hospital and get an enema.
I've never had an enema. Did the poop just like flow out? How did it work?
Does it feel good?
Sometimes it does.
Oh, you know what?
Basically, what you have, they squirt it in, and then you have to hold it for a bit, and then you.
How long is a bit?
Like yeah. It could be anywhere. Essentially, they don't want you to go right away because it'll just come right out of your butt.
It's also gross.
But they want you to hold it in enough to where you feel like you're going to go to the bathroom.
If there's water shooting up into your intestines, don't you immediately feel like you go to the bathroom?
Yeah. You do, but that's because water is shooting up into your intestines. So they don't want you to go right away. Mm-hmm. So when I went, they had me wait. And then they wanted me to wait longer. I waited like 10 minutes or so.
10 minutes was it like your intestines full of water?
Yeah. But I was like totally con. So then I went and like, I was super con to the point where when I went, finally was able to go to the bathroom, literally you could hear like a, like it was like a suction kind of thing. Like I was super constipated. So like,
disgusting.
I know. So
there's an episode of My Strange Addiction. Have you guys seen that show? Where the lady, actually the couple are addicted to giving themselves coffee enemas daily.
Yeah.
And they do like five coffee enemas a day.
So or ventis.
Dude, it's like a Trenta.
So
like, it's like a bucket full of coffee that they put into themselves.
Lori would do that if it was like Robex juice.
Yeah, I would.
That's fair.
I would do it.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to her arrest now. So
protein powder added though.
Yeah.
Are we missing any crimes?
No.
Like I'm going to go home. I'm going to go on Wikipedia and I'm going to be like, okay, Lori covered all the crimes.
Yeah. Well, she probably had like a lot of little crimes, right?
Well, yeah. I just summarize them. Basically, she would just, that's how she would get it. She would have a monkey steal her jewels. And then she also had her fingernails. So she would like, you know, go like, oh, what's that? And then she'd take it and she'd hide it under her fingernail or mm-hmm. something. So
why was it, do you think that a lot of her crimes seem like something that like a Batman villain would do?
Because I think it was because she loved the pomp and circumstance of it. You know, I mean, it's yes. like
there's a lot of pomp and circumstance giving a monkey an enema.
Yeah. I think she just liked the story. I think she, I thought you meant like the other ones, but yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do that. They call me Heartbreaker.
Is there pictures of her? There's no pictures of her, right?
There is one when she was in prison. I thought I put it on here, but I forgot.
Is it just a regular picture that they put bars in front of it?
But no. So she became super popular to the point where this was right around the time that photography
popularity is not good for a thief.
How many followers did she have?
Well, this is right around the time that photography was really popular. So she started getting recognized. recognized on the street.
Mm-mm.
And so people would actually surround her when she was like in a jewelry store because they thought that she was going to pull a heist. And then also like sometimes she would get arrested. She would get caught. And so people would she would have people in the streets like pushing the police away and helping her escape. So it was like a kind of a benefit and a curse because you also at one time had people drawn to her. So police took notice, but then if she got captured, they would help her get away.
But if she's so famous, what idiot jeweler is letting her into their jewelry
store? That's true.
Store?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, look, the most famous jewelry robber. Come right in, Sonia.
Well, I think it's like... you know, certain people probably didn't know, like, they didn't think it was her, you know?
You couldn't prove it, kind of like a Batman yeah. Catwoman situation yeah. where it's like, I know that you're Batman. I can't prove you're Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's cool.
So also when she would get arrested, she would just like seduce the guards or seduce the warden or the judges. One time she actually seduced her own attorney and then stole all of his money
mm-hmm.
After the trial. So she she was just really good at like charming and seducing men and kind of like pretending that she like totally loved them. So like I said earlier, so it was her last husband that basically caused her demise because what was happening was he was a gambling addict and she was actually in love with this guy. Like every other husband guy that she knew, she would just use him and lose him, you know, but she actually loved this guy and he took full advantage of it and just lived off of her.
Mm-hmm.
So then he just kept getting more and more debt. So what she had to do was take more and more risks, which she didn't like to do. She would plan out her heists like to the T's to think of every possible scenario. And now she was planning out these like, you know, ridiculous thefts. Like one time she went to, she entered a rich man's house and asked one of the servants is the master of the house here? And when the doorman left to go get the master of the house, she just grabbed everything in the lobby in the front area and left and ran away.
This is like, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you said Master of the House, and I heard nothing after that. I was just thinking of that stupid song from the
Master of the House.
Going to the lobby, stealing all the jewelry from this guy's house.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about Come to My Window by Melissa Etheridge?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, yeah.
So,
it's the same message.
I feel like you get a Melissa Etheridge CD as soon as it just automatically shows up on your iPhone.
As soon as you find out you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
It just shows up at your door, kind of like The Ring, you know, you get the call.
Yeah.
It's like you bring up a package from Columbia House.
That's what homophobes don't understand.
It's like Melissa Etheridge, Indigo Girl.
Yeah.
That's what homophobes don't understand. It's like, we don't want to. It followed us.
Katie Lang.
Oh my God, yeah, Katie Lang.
Well, do you want to do Katie Lang so
no,
bad?
No, not at all. I don't really like Katie Lang. Not that I like, I don't really know her, but I don't like her music.
I feel like everything we've mentioned, you don't like.
I don't like a lot of things.
Yeah, you really don't.
But there's Ellen DeGeneres.
She's so unpleasant.
I do like Ellen DeGeneres.
Like where you'd want to like.
No. No, I don't want to have sex with her, but
I said, would you want to go on her show?
Wait,
you would want to, and then like you said, I would want to say, I'm like, go on her show? Why did everything to be sex
you
with you?
You did not say that.
You're going to hear the tape.
So she walked into a jewelry shop. And
the bartender said, oh.
a borderline Jew walks into a jewelry store. So she walks into a jewelry store and people notice her. So they all flock to that jewelry store. So she's trying to like pretend that she's interested in these jewels. And the jeweler's getting like a little like, why is this person so popular kind of thing? And she decides that she's, you know what? She goes, she had looked at all these really nice jewels and she goes, you know, I just want to get this brooch. Well, he gets super suspicious because she just spent like 45 minutes looking at all these really expensive rubies and jewels and all that stuff. So he calls the police and he finds out that she had a bunch of the jewels under her fingernails and a couple.
How do the police know this?
Because they searched her. So,
wait, so she's in the jewelry store. She's like, hold, please.
And yeah.
He's like,
so he just, I think like he just like summoned them, you know, on the street or something.
Okay.
So they searched her and they found jewelry and, and in her purse, and then they also found it in her fingernails and under her tongue. So she had been trying to steal from that jewelry store. So she got arrested, and they said that after a loud court trial, which I thought was hilarious, because I feel like if I ever go to court, that's what's going to be known as, is a loud court trial.
I've seen your comedy shows. I would say the opposite of loud. You can hear crickets. Go ahead.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I did do jury duty recently.
Did you really?
Yeah. And
was it loud?
No, I was actually really, I was the only one who asked questions.
You're not allowed to ask questions in your court.
You can hand questions to the bailiff. And I was the only one who did that. And then they asked the questions that I asked.
But Lori, asking 3 times in one day if you're going to have Chipotle for lunch is not considered a relevant question in court.
I'm just saying it's important to
know. It is a question.
It is a question. They did ask it.
Lori, we will have lunch at the regular lunchtime.
They did say, you know, sometimes we cannot ask the questions because legally they might pertain to something else.
What happens?
And I was like, okay.
What happens if you have to go to the bathroom during the trial?
Yeah. You can ask to go, but then you have to pause. Everybody has to pause.
So if you have to shit and you know you have to take like a 15-minute, 20-minute shit, like you're pissing everybody off.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because everybody has to stop and then they have to go wait for you. And then the jury has to leave the courtroom. So they have to just wait in the hallways. This actually happened because when they were doing jury selection, this one woman finished her questions and then she's like, can I go to the bathroom? And the judge was going to just let her run to the bathroom because it was just jury selection. But then she's like, does anybody else have to go? And I thought, oh, well, they're asking. I have to go. He was like, all right, everybody out of the courtroom and we'll reconvene in 15 minutes.
Well, I think he'd heard about you going to the bathroom. He was like, oh, Lord, go to the bathroom. Clear the courthouse. We're called the bomb squad right now, immediately.
They were warned
about
this
place and get hazmat suits. Nah.
Yeah. So
she had Chipotle 3 times in the lobby.
This is the one that asked about Chipotle 3
She keeps bringing bags. I don't even know how she gets it. There's no Chipotle near her. She's just bringing bags of Chipotle. Yeah. It's like she has it saved at home and brings it in. So
that's a good way to get, like, so if I were to get called for jury duty and I was like, I have a bladder problem and bowel, like I have irritable bowel syndrome, they would probably not choose
that's
you, right?
Point, Maria, yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true, Lori?
I mean, they probably I wanted to get on the jury, and it sucked that like I was an alternate and I didn't actually get to deliberate because I took a shit ton of notes and I was super well prepared.
That's probably why they didn't
want. Yeah.
They're like, she's too into it.
Asked questions. I took notes.
Were the chairs comfortable?
What?
Were the chairs comfortable?
I was sitting in a comfortable chair because I was an alternate, so I wasn't sitting in the actual bench area. I was sitting to the side, so I got to sit in like a nice chair. Like a recliner kind of thing.
Did your Chipotle stink up the courtroom?
I did not eat Chipotle. So, no, it did not. But I did have a soda one time and accidentally burped.
there we go.
When they were talking about... So the trial was essentially about this woman threatening to kill somebody. And she didn't do it. She just threatened.
Trial for that? Ugh.
Yeah, so they were... That was what the trial was. So they were saying that... So then they were saying, you know, so what did the woman, the defendant, say to you? And she goes, I'm going to get my fucking gun and I'm going to shoot you. And I went, accidentally. But it was like way louder. And I was like, oh, God, sorry. And then they had to repeat it because my burp, like, I guess, distracted everybody. So they had to like
redo. The stenographer wrote the burp down.
They didn't have a stenographer. They had to record. They just recorded the whole trial.
Oh, wow. Stenographers are being phased out, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. When they don't have. Well, what they end up doing is they just have stenographers. They have stenographers read that, listen to the tapes, and then they have them read the. Or I guess take notes or whatever. So, I mean, they still need them, but they just...
You should do a whole podcast about this.
This is really interesting, actually. Yeah.
I should.
Lori's day in court.
Yeah.
It was fun. I really liked it. I wish I could have deliberated, but, you know, it was okay. It was one of those things where it was also like, how the hell did this go to trial?
Did you agree with the outcome?
She was found not guilty.
Yeah, definitely.
And
I say I'm going to kill you to like 5 different people a day. It doesn't sound like
we text each other that all the time.
All the time.
In detail, too.
Yeah.
To her. So she was sent off. She was, they said that They call it Cartoga, which I guess is like a life. They say it's a penal, it's penal servitude, which I was I'm not going to say that. So it's a life sentence on Sakhalin Island.
Isn't that where the other guy died?
It's the other guy died. Yeah, it's a really, it's like where they send the worst of the worst. So she actually was so loved that she, when she was on the, when she boarded the ship to go to the island, like they had throngs of people go and cheer her on as she boarded the ship. So she was on the Sakhalin Island. She had escaped from like every prison. So that's how they moved. She escaped from Warsaw, Petersburg, Kiev, Kharkov. So she tried to escape from Sakhalin Island three times. The first time she tried to escape, the guards simply just like pushed her back in. Like she almost got in. They were just like, no.
Where's she going to go? It's an island. It's like Alcatraz, right? You can't.
The second time she actually got like a little further, they don't really say how far, but she then, because of that, she got chained. She was chained in shackles. So she was chained up. And they said that she was the first chained woman ever in the history of this island.
I don't know. Your girlfriend might have something to say about that.
The third attempt, that doesn't even make sense. The third attempt was, they think she either performed it alone or with her then lover, a murderer named Bogdanov. And she escaped from the island.
Sounds like a car dealer. Yeah. Like a car dealer salesman. Bogdanov and Chevy Toyota Van Nuys.
Are you tired of your car and how it drives? Go to Ford.
Do you
and
want to
buy
a box of sweaters?
Yeah. Suck my dick.
I'm Bogdanov.
I'm Bogdanov.
I have boxes and boxes of sweaters.
I will give you truck, even if you don't want truck. You're taking fucking truck. So she escaped from the island dressed as a soldier, and she actually managed to carry out several crimes before being recaptured. So they said that she was able to, but finally she was brought back.
She's all about that life, huh?
And she was put in solitary confinement. Mm-mm. So they think that, so she ended up dying on Sakhalin Island, but there are some people who said that she actually didn't die. She became the owner of Kvass Pub, which is a popular Russian rural drink made out of bread or grains, and entertained local Sakhalin residents.
I think she's more likely to die. I don't see Sonya the Golden Hand retiring to make a pub or like run a pub.
Yeah.
And entertain the local Sakhalin residents, which are really just the prison guards.
Yeah.
Because who else would fucking live there?
Yeah. And also like the janitor.
Like, oh, you look at this prisoner that died.
Yeah. So she actually met Anton Chekhov, who's like a famous writer, Russian writer.
Sure.
And he wrote a book called
Chekhov's Gun. You know about Chekhov's Gun?
He wrote a book
you
called
know about Chekhov's Gun?
I do not.
Chekhov's gun is his theater principle because he wrote about it. That if you introduce a gun on stage,
that you have to fire the gun.
You have to use the gun. You can't just bring in a gun and never reference it.
That's fair.
Yeah. So anything. So if you bring in something on stage, like if you bring up Jews, like you've met many times, you have to pay it off.
Borderline Jews. So he was writing a book about Sakhalin Island, and so he met Sonya there. And at the time, she was in solitary confinement and chained with leg irons. So Chekhov wrote, looking at her, it is impossible to believe that not long ago she was beautiful to such a degree that she charmed her prison guards as she did in Smolensk. For example, where the overseer helped her to escape and himself ran away with her.
What?
It's translated from Russian. So basically, he's basically saying she's ugly now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, she's like 40 and ugly.
She was 40. Yeah, she was in her mid-40s. Yeah, she's in her mid-40s, small, skinny, already graying woman with a crumpled, old womanish face. Which I just love that's his way of saying old womanish.
Yeah.
Old womanish.
And then it was like, P.S., I left and I can't find my watch or my rings or
or my jewels
or my bracelet
or my chocolate candies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then she died soon after.
All right.
As we know, chocolate kills Jews.
So the last thing I'll talk about is that
we'll just we're at an hour and five. Let's just do like a mini-sode if you want to add on.
It's just a grave thing. Okay. It's literally just a tiny thing.
No, just stop it right here.
Yeah, let's stop it.
It's literally just a tiny thing. So I'm telling you, it's literally, it's interesting.
I feel like I'm on Sakhalin Island.
So she dies She dies in 1902 and is buried on Sakhalin Island. But there is a grave in Moscow's Vagnakovsko Cemetery that is with a big woman, a big monument of a woman draped in cloth. And the gravestone reads Blushtein. And it has notes written by possible thieves, and they what they'll do is they'll transcribe notes and put it on a grave saying, like, please help me get my, you know, steal this, or please help me get away with my big score.
Oh, so she's like La Santa Muerte. Yeah. For thieves.
So thieves leave grave, they also leave tributes and stuff. The only thing is, it's not her grave. It's just some random woman that they've all designated to be Sonia's grave.
Idiots.
But, and then also I think it's funny that people will leave like, hey, please help me get finish this big score.
She
it's
loved
like
to steal.
The police should just steals. Stake out that grave and then they would just find all these
things. Yeah, what are these dummy cops? It was like, like
just follow somebody, leave a note, read the note, and then arrest that person.
Yeah, you're right. Good point.
And the notes has like the whole
thing. Yeah, the same people, they put her picture in the newspaper and then jewelers are like, come right in.
Yeah. Well, because, like, also, it's like, I think people back then just, you know, when you had an air about you, you know, people were just like, because they just didn't suspect that you were going to do that sort of thing. I think especially in Russia, you know, women were really seen as, like, you know, interesting. Mm-hmm. So she got away with a lot.
You live up to that.
So, yeah, she
won't. I think that you're phrasing that, but whatever.
Well, what do you mean?
Women weren't really seeing it. I mean, she was obviously considered interesting to people.
No, I think women in general. So, like, she was interesting, but women in general in Russia were, like, seen as, like, you know, just like.
I think they weren't seen as threatening.
Yeah, threatening. And
yeah.
But, yeah, so she mostly worked alone. She was part of a thievery group.
Yeah, sure.
But there's not really that much information on it. So, yeah, that's it.
Cool. So that was Sonia.
Is there like a concluding sentence for me or something? Like, am I supposed to go like, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that's
well,
Sonia.
Joe, this
not
is,
only did she steal jewels, she stole my heart.
Yeah. Well, this that's has been what a mistake, inviting you to be a guest. So.
By the way, can you please turn the heat up in here? It's not hot enough in this apartment.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what we've been doing.
We did invite you to take your shirt off before we started.
Well, who wouldn't
this is what,
see that? Yeah.
Exactly.
No, you have a giant tattoo of a hot dog from nip to nip. So
Joe's face, I like, that was the worst attempt at a joke.
If you live far away and you haven't seen Lori Rogan perform live, this is the kind of quality jokes you can expect at a
Lori
Rogan.
Well, what's funny is
joint.
I've taken like $10,000 worth of improv classes, and that's like the best I can come up with is a hot dog tattoo.
With that being said, when's your next show, Lori?
I'm doing a comedy competition in Clovis this the 25th, which this probably won't be out by then. So
that's a good.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. How about you, Joe?
Listen to RuPaul's Drag Race recap, available on everywhere you get your podcasts, actually. Anywhere.
And you also have a MixLR.
Oh,
thing,
yeah.
Right?
Well, you have to, like, then you have to sign up for Patreon and find out when those shows are. No one wants to do that. Listen to the show.
Because I'm going
to
be on the Patreon. So
oh, yeah. Lori's going to be on it. We're gonna recap Dragula. And if you want to hear that, you can sign up at patreon.com/dragracerecap and hear me and Lori back. Have you ever watched Dragula?
No.
It's available on Amazon Prime and YouTube. Mm. It's like spooky drag.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like
that's right up my alley.
They dress up as monsters.
Yeah.
Should we follow your Twitter or no?
Oh, yeah.
Is it
Twitter, Instagram, everything at Joe Betant, JoeBetance.
Follow us on Bloody Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, thank you for listening.
All right, thank you. Bye. Go away, Joe.